part of the beauty of the film is its subtlety. How often are you in films where you think, oh my God, if they had just pulled this back?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think actors do have pretty good instincts about that. First of all, as an actor, a lot of times when I'm in a scene, you're trying not to overthink it. You're just trying to really be in the moment and commit to it. Because if you start to do that, you just sabotage yourself. So I don't do that a lot. That doesn't mean when I'm reading the script, I'm not like, huh, I wonder how this is going to work. And, you know, I've had the good fortune of working with some really good directors lately. And I try not to second guess them. You know, I try to think, well, they certainly have a vision for this. And, you know, you're always pleasantly surprised, you know, when you're working on something. You're like, is this going to work? And then it does. And you're like, wow, look what they did. Because I only saw my piece of it, you know. And I think certainly as a director, I understand there's a lot more to see. But that said, sometimes you're in a scene and you feel that. And it's really just as simple of like, should I say that? Don't we know that, kind of? And, you know, good writer director will be like, yeah, you might be right. Let's hear it. What do you think? I think we get it. We can play it. Great.
It's like the Steve McQueen story of when he slashed full page of dialogue and went, I could do that with a yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes that's true. And unfortunately, sometimes you have directors or writers who are like, no, I've really thought about that. It's really good. And we're like, yeah, we know. Everything you're saying makes sense, but this is the next stage of development. And look, as a writer-director, I sort of have a policy. I'm like, commit to what's there, and then we'll know. I think the problem is sometimes actors want to skip that stage and just say, well, I know. Well, then there's no discovery here, you know. So let's commit and let's try it, and if not, we'll try something else. And that is about process, and that, for me, all comes back to trust. You know, if you have the trust of your actors, you know you're on the same page, you have good, open communication with them, you can achieve a lot more. When that starts to break down, there's a lack of trust or a lack of communication, that's when things can get a little bit wonky on set.
Yeah, is that something that you've come to over time? Because a lot of writer-directors are so protective of their dialogue. I know Station Asia was such a collaborative process with Peter years before you even started.
I think it is, but I think it came to it before as an actor and doing a lot of independent films with first-time writer-directors, and they were just so like, yeah, that's good, that's good. Here's how, it's like when you're having a discussion and you're making a point, someone's like, right. Well, let me just say, and you're like, okay, but you didn't even let in what I said. There's no way you could have, because I haven't finished my point, and you're coming in. It's still a lesson I had to learn. I remember working with Patty Clarkson, the station agent, and there was a moment, it was actually not dialogue, but it was an action. She picks up her purse and walks quickly to the door. Patty did it and, like, sauntered. Not quickly, that's really. But it was so deliberate and right, and I realized she was playing it. Like, oh, I'm going to regain my composure. It's like a drunk person not playing drunk. And it's genius. And I was like, that's pretty good. It's better than what I wrote. I'm going to change that for the production script. But I didn't have that in me. I wasn't even like, wow, that's great. I was like, huh. And I had to trust it. And I asked her about it. And she explained, I said, all right, let's go with it. It was the right move, you know. And so I think sometimes there is that, hopefully, that sense of discovery. Now, you don't always have the time for that. And I think good actors commit. And I was fortunate with these actors. They did that, and then there were times where we just found things. Sometimes just being on location dictates that.
Yeah. You've worked in so many different aspects and so many different kinds of films. I mean, 2012, you don't really get a bigger film than 2012.
No big film.
Your three features are
pretty big, right?
They're big in emotion, but they're very personal stories.
Yeah.
Would you ever branch out in terms of doing a big screen epic like that, in terms of a huge blockbuster?
Look, I would never say never to anything, because it's all about where you are in the time and what you're connecting to. If suddenly I thought, oh my God, I totally have an in on this movie, or I have a connection to it, or I have an idea or a vision for it, then yeah. But I think it has to be something that you connect with. Otherwise, it's just doing it to be a big blockbuster director. You work with Roland Emmerich once, and you know these are the movies he loves to make. His enthusiasm and his passion for those projects is limitless. He loves doing it, and he's very good at it. He really understands that genre of movie, and you sense it when you're working with him. You're like, oh, I'm in good hands. He knows what he's doing. It's all about challenges. Once you get to the place where you're like, oh, I can generate my own work, there's not a lot of people who can do that. And I think when you're in that position, it's got to be about what's the challenge here? What's exciting about this?
Yeah.
How do I not get bored? And I've talked to, like, colleagues of mine, other directors, who are like, I'm kind of bored with this type of storytelling. I don't know how to shake it up. And that's not just, I need to shake it up, just shake it up. It's find that passion I had in the first movie, the second movie, the third movie. How do I do that? How do I, you know, reconnect to the material in that way? So I think that's really interesting, actually.
How much of your process changed in working on Up? Because I know you were credited with bringing the kid in. Because before that, it was
just a very
different story.
Old, boring man. Yeah, you know, I think Up was a great example, because for people who make such big movies, you meet them and they're all just like little tinkerers. they don't work in an epic scale. They work like in tiny, they're so specific and they're all about story. They're
well, that's actually why I ask you about doing a blockbuster, because Up really is a very intimate personal story
right.
that if made as a live action independent film
right.
could very well be, you know, Station Agent, could very well
right.
be an assembled family, you know, and yes, I know you brought that to it in terms of the assembled
yeah.
family, but...
But how many big blockbusters do you see like that? And I think that's what makes them such a utopian place to develop those types of stories, is that they foster it. They demand it. They're like, why? How? Go deeper. Challenge it. Go deeper. You don't hear that from a lot of studio execs making live action epic. They're like, I don't care. Make it bigger. That's all I care about. Or Pixar, the reason their movies make a lot of money, are blockbusters, but are also so critically acclaimed, is because they have that attention to detail. They care. Lasseter is their guy. I mean, think about that. It's like John Lasseter is your studio head. Okay, big advantage. You know, like you're starting there. When you're pitching a movie, you're pitching it to Lasseter. And he'll ask a question like, yeah? How do they land on a cloud? Explain that to me. And you're like, okay, all right, well, here's how they do it. And he's like, Being there, you're like, oh, this is inspiring. Because all they're doing is challenging each other to tell the best story they can. They're not challenging themselves to make a blockbuster and to push the limits of what they've done before. And you can't help but feel that when you're there. And it feels so obvious, but it's so hard to replicate.
Yeah.
And there's a reason they are the most successful movie studio ever.
Do you have enough of a technical skill now with illustration to do something like that?
Negative, no.
Yeah.
No. I understand the process a little bit more. But they're all different varying degrees, you know, like Pete Docter happens to be an amazing animator. He came up through the ranks then. And Stanton's more story, you know.
Yeah.
Stanton's more of a pure writer. Docter's not. And they all have their different strengths in that kind of collective, in those top three or four or five guys at Pixar. Do I understand the process a lot more? Yeah. Would I be interested in jumping back in? Yeah, if it was with the right team again. You know, and Pete and I have kind of bandied about ideas. We've just both been busy on our own thing. And
would they be a sequel to Up?
No, we've never talked about that.
Yeah.
I think Up's Up.
You know, no, I know it's a standalone, but...
Yeah, no, we've talked about our different new ideas, and we have a few. We just haven't had time. We've just both been busy.
Yeah.
We're both on opposite coasts. And
what are some of those ideas that you've...
Oh, no way. Can't talk about those ideas.
So, Million Dollar Arm. How far along is that?
I'm just starting it. I'll do a writing job once a year when I find something that I think is really interesting. And, you know, it's a way for me to pay the bills and hopefully... come up with a good script. And something about this story I just found really interesting.
Just 100% writing.
We'll see how it turns out. You know, it's a great way of vetting the people you're working with too, as you collaborate on developing the script, and then if they're interested in me directing it and I'm interested in directing it, then we can have that conversation, which we're
right.
still both open to. But you know, my first step is always, let me get the script done and then we can talk.
Mm-hmm. And last question, because the indie film community is so small and so tight-knit, Gary Winnick just passed away. Yeah, a lot of people will look at 13 Going on 30, or they'll look at Letters to Juliet, but his real impact was on independent film
yeah.
with Indigent.
Yeah.
What are your lasting memories of him? What do you think his legacy is going to be?
I think what's interesting about Gary is just what you point out, right? Here's a guy who's that sort of driving force behind Indigent and independent cinema, was such a champion of it, but then he went on to do all these other kind of films, including Charlotte Webb and Mixing It Up, and it's a perfect example of a director who's experimenting and trying different things. And you might not understand every choice, but he didn't care. He was having fun. Anyone who knew him knew what a lovely guy he was. And, you know, I was over at Post Factory the other day. I had to stop in there where we edited the movies. A lot of directors and writers there and editors. And there's a lot of talk about Gary. And just, like, I hope we can do something to remember him, because he's a part of the community and he'll be missed. You know, it's sad. Really kind of took the wind out of my sails. Just sad.
Do you have a specific personal memory?
No, I just knew him from the community. He used to live in my neighborhood. We see each other and never worked together. Saw him last New Year's Eve at another friend's house briefly and chatted with him. And, you know, he was struggling. He'd been struggling for a while.
Yeah.
What can you say? But he'll be missed, and it's sad.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, pleasure.